Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every baby needs one. They can save babies' lives, but only 2% of the population has the knowledge to properly install their car seat. I'm here to educate you. I'm Rosemary Mason, founder of SitSafeSanDiego.com, and this is Parent Savers, Episode 22.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I am your host, Casey Wilt. You can now download our free app, so check it out on your smartphone or tablet. Also, another great way to get great parenting information is to subscribe to our Parent Savers newsletter with behind-the-scenes content from our show with all the latest and greatest updates. So visit our website, parentsavers.com, for more info. And we want you to be a part of the show. Did you know you can email one of our experts directly and ask parenting questions? Or if you have a question in an episode that we didn't answer, send it in. So we have so many great and knowledgeable experts partnering with us to get your parenting questions answered. You can send us a message on the episode online, through Facebook, email, and you can call our hotline and we'll get them answered. So I am a new parent myself. My son Carson's 22 months old and I'm joined by two new parents here in the studio.
Hi, I'm Amy Rinaldo. I am 33 years old.
It's okay. After you're 30, you forget.
Right? I work part-time for a financial institution in operations. I have one baby girl. She's 11 months.
And she's so sweet. She's walking around here earlier. Super cute.
Hi, I'm Naomi O'Grady. I'm 34 years old. I'm a marketing professional at a local biotech company. And I have wonderful 18-month boy-girl twins.
Oh, fun. How old did you say?
18 months.
18 months. Oh, my goodness. And it's now getting more fun, less stressful?
More fun. More crazy.
Yeah. So this morning, we're talking headlines. So, ladies, I found this headline on Time, and it's actually an opinion article, and it says, should some planes be kid-free? And this is off of a situation that happened from Seattle to Miami, a flight, and they had a little three-year-old boy that they tried to put in a seatbelt before the plane took off. And he, as three-year-olds do, you know, threw a tantrum and everything else, and they tried it once and then finally just wasn't doing it. And the flight attendants made the plane go back. Well, obviously, the captain made the plane go back to the gate. And the family was asked to leave. I don't know if they got an applause on the plane or I don't know if everyone, I don't know any of that stuff. But what do you guys think? I fly a lot. My son is not two yet and he's been on probably 20 flights already. And I know every single time I get on a plane, I'm totally stressed out.
I think in this situation, if they had brought their car seat with them and put that in the seat, I think he would have just went, oh, I'm in my car seat, and he would have just sat in it just fine.
Yeah,
because
kids
have a sense of, you know, a right and wrong, and they know
what they're used to.
What they're used to.
Oh my gosh, what a brilliant idea.
Yeah. So whenever you travel, yeah, when they get a little older, just pop that in there.
Well, because you're buying the seat anyways.
You're buying the seat anyway. You might as well bring it, and you know, you have to just bring it, pop it in there. They'll climb right in there and sit, and they can sit much easier. Because those seat belts aren't very comfortable for a three-year-old.
Well, it said it by the time they finally the plane embarked, it was around his neck. Yeah. You know, because he was squirming out of it,
wiggling down.
Yeah, and he can't see because you know, and he wants to see what's going on. He's three.
I'm getting ready to travel for the first time with my kids, and over Christmas, and I'm terrified.
Oh, two? Is it just you?
My husband, too. We got three seats for the four of us, so we'll lock one of them in and hold the other on our lap. But hopefully somebody participates in sitting in that seat. I don't know about bringing a car seat.
You just buy drinks for everyone around you, and then you're
Yeah. My husband was saying maybe we should make little goodie bags, put some miniature alcohol bottles in
it.
Exactly,
right.
Some chocolate.
Bring things that your child doesn't normally have at home, so those are the new toys that they can bring. And don't bring everything with you, because they do have diapers in your destination, so it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I get a little bit with that whole situation where you offer people around the flight and everything else. I don't know. I go back and forth with it because I feel like, you know, they were, well,
kids are a part of life.
Yeah, kids are a part of life. And actually, I was thinking about it last night. My husband and I lived in Korea for a couple of years before kids, and they are so kid friendly that they have a playground with a babysitter at the grocery store that you drop your kids off, right. You go grocery shopping,
that's and
then you
amazing.
Come back and you get your kids. And to see a kid at a nice restaurant isn't, you know, what the world. And I feel like the more and more we're moving in this way of, well, that's a kid, keep him at home, that we're becoming less and less, I guess, kid friendly per se. But also the same aspect, I go on those airplanes and you see those parents and you go, discipline your child. You know, they should not be at the car seat, or bring a car seat and doing something like that. And whose fault is that? Is that the fault of a kid being a typical 3-year-old, yeah, or a parent?
I think too, if the people around you see you being an active parent and trying to give little toys, they're more forgiving than if you just sit there going, shut up, be quiet, you know, kind of an attitude. So it's, you know, one advice for you for your twins is don't go on a red eye. Always go during the day.
Definitely not. We're tried to, the best we can, arrange it around nap schedules. So
good.
Hopefully it won't be a nightmare, but we'll see.
They'll be excited. They'll just be excited and want to look around. So it's,
yeah.
I was just going to say that for the last, I know I traveled for 2 years for business, and so every week I was on a couple flights, and I actually would try to seek out if I saw a parent with a child, and I would
so
sit
nice.
Next to them, because I knew I was entering that stage in my life. I was kind of hoping to build some karma, like give them a smile, say it's okay if their kid was hitting me, or you know, just trying to interact. I would just smile at the kid and try, and because I thought, well, someday this is going to be me on the plane, and if I'm by myself, like I hope there's that nice person who says it's okay, right. You can sit by me,
exactly.
And I don't care. So I was trying to build that up a little.
Good for you.
Well, and the last thing I was going to tell you, the first flight my son did was a flight from San Diego to Italy with three legs. That's a very long flight. And my very, I sat down next to this Parisian woman, and I was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And my son hadn't done anything yet. And so here I am defending. And he actually was a gem the whole flight. And she was great. And everything else was fine. And so it's one of those things is like, I took so much stress upon it. And again, if more people were just like you, Amy, and just happy about it, then, you know, maybe we'd be more kid-friendly on airplanes and everything. Well, great. Thanks for talking about this. We'll post this on our Pinterest board, and you can join the discussion and read the article.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Parent Savers, we have Rosemary Mason. She's founder of SitSafeSanDiego.com, and she's here to help us learn how to properly use and install our car seats. So, Rosemary, what are the current laws about car seats, and who exactly regulates them?
Well, each state regulates the laws. So we're here in California, so our laws are here. But then if you went someplace else, it's going to be different.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not a universal. We, the Department of Transportation, so you have the Department of Transportation, and then that they have the National Highway Traffic Safety Association, and they're the ones who do like the crash dummy tests and all those type of things. And then they go on down to the motor vehicle type of one, and they're the ones who actually regulate the safety belts and all the little components of your car seat. So we have the federal government doing the car seat actual safety, and then the states are regulating the laws of what you need to do. So it kind of gets kind of all these little people have their little hands in the pie. Things that are not regulated would be like those aftermarket toys. So anything you put on your car seat or window things, those aren't regulated. Even though they may say federally tested, there is no, you know, organization that does that.
Or so, the head pillows.
The head pillows, exactly. If it didn't come with your car seat, then it's an aftermarket product and it's not recommended for your car seat. Now, as a technician, my job is just to recommend. You can use it, but it's not my recommendation that you use these aftermarket products.
So I mentioned I have 18-month-old twins, and they're starting to get irritated, kicking the back of the car seat. Their legs are getting long, and they want to turn around. What is the state guidelines on when they can be rear-facing, when they can be forward-facing?
Right. We recommend that you have them rear-facing as long as possible. The actual law is 1 year and 20 pounds. Okay. So,
oh, but one law and?
And 20 pounds. So that's where people go, oh, I thought it was 1 year
I
or.
Thought it, yeah. Yeah.
It's 1 year and 20 pounds. But a lot of the car seats now rear-facing are able to hold up to maybe 30 to 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that's really, the AAP was really kind of recommending that you kind of keep them as rear-facing as long as possible in the guidelines, because those car seats are accommodating the weight. In Sweden, it's really recommended, and they use it quite a bit, that it's rear-facing. They have 3- and 4-year-olds who are rear-facing.
What do they do with their legs?
Once again, if they kids are used to just curling their little legs up, and you're looking, remember, you're thinking of spinal or head injuries compared to a broken foot. So if the car seat comes forward, I know this is great on radio, but it comes forward, if you broke a foot, that's a lot less than if you had spinal or neck injury.
Right. So should they try to cross their legs?
Sure, they can sit cross-legged. Okay. Once again, all these new car seats will be coming out in the next couple of years, or probably in this next year, the new conventions pretty soon, and they'll probably make them a little deeper so they can accommodate more the rear facing.
So you said 1 year and 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. I think in my last pediatrician visit, they gave me a paper that said 2 years and 20 pounds.
Well, that's what some of the recommendation, once again, to get rear facing as long as possible, but the actual law is just 1 year and 20 pounds.
So you wouldn't get a ticket at 1 year and 22 pounds.
Exactly.
But everyone's recommending that you keep them rear-facing up to 2 years or as long as possible for safety issues.
Exactly.
So what's the statistic on that? I mean, let's say your child is 15 months and you turn them face forward. I mean, is there less likely chance of them, you know, is there any statistics that are out there saying that kids end up with spinal injuries? Or
right. I'm sure there is. I don't have the statistics in front of me. But, you know, it's I think a lot of parents think, oh, my child wants to be front facing.
Yeah, and see everything.
There really isn't. No, there isn't any data on that. There isn't any. It's kind of more of a myth that, oh, my child wants that. And they're totally happy just rear facing because that's the way they know it. They don't know any other difference than rear facing. Mm. So, you know, I would recommend for your 18-month-olds, if they have the right, can, you know, seat, just keep them in there as safe as possible. If we would all be rear facing in the car, except the driver, of course, we would all be a lot safer with our own little harnesses and everything else.
Oh, I bet, especially with those harnesses, because my friend is an ambulance driver and they see crashes and everyone's gone horribly, but the kids are always right. Because they have hardly anything wrong with them because mm-hmm. they're
exactly
all strapped in.
I'm thinking about myself, just put myself in
an adult harness.
We used to have the station wagon, you know, where you rode right. facing back with your brother and made faces at the car, but there was no harness back there. I think it was like a little thin, tiny seatbelt. I'm sure that was not safe.
If there was a seatbelt.
Yeah.
This is terrible, but when I, my kids were in the NICU, so I had to actually have my car seats inspected and mm-hmm. get a paper sign
same
before
way.
I could
yeah.
bring them
yes.
home.
Yeah.
And when I went to the I think it was like the police office or whatever, they had called them orphan seats.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes
was
for preemies,
sad.
They'll
orphan
have...
Seat.
Right, so if you're in a terrible car accident, the parents die, but the right. kids are left orphaned because they're so safe.
They're really safe on that part.
Oh, my gosh.
Did for your babies, did they have the lay-down type of ones, or did they actually... How big were they then? Were they about 5 pounds?
They were about 5 pounds okay. by the time they came home. I had got the car seats that could have had
right.
smaller kids because
okay.
I mean they were very small when they mm-hmm. were born, but then the nurses just rolled up some receiving blankets
right.
and kind of wedged them in there
yeah.
so
exactly.
that they were at least upright.
And that's what we do recommend, that you put your child in the car seat themselves, lock them in nice and tight, and then if they need some extra support, roll your receiving blankets and tuck in. Don't have them wear really heavy clothing or little hats and everything else, because that, once again, when you put the harness on, it's not gonna fill up, so you need to have them almost skin to skin with that harness, and then you can tuck in things around it.
Now, do you recommend getting a larger seat that grows with the child? Because there's some that are infant seats, and then there's convertible seats
I think new
infant.
Parents all love the dream of that little infant seat, and
yeah.
they can take them back and forth. But
convenient.
You get to be 25 pounds and you got a car
yes.
seat, you're not, your arms are going to be like, you know, a little hefty there. So a lot of, I think I find more second-time parents go ahead and just go right with the convertible seat and don't worry about the infant seat anymore. So it kind of goes back and forth.
What about for preemies that are smaller? Are they
right.
suited for a convertible car seat, or do they really need that?
Once again, they have to meet the weight requirement
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, it's like 8-7 pounds or something.
Some will go as low as 5, but if they got a little or a little smaller one, maybe with someone with special needs, they have the ones, they lay in the back of the car seat. They're like little cots, and you can specially get those, and
and usually the hospitals can order them for you, and your child can be safely transported back and forth with those. So they're like little beds that fit in the back seat.
Well, how do you know if you installed it correctly?
You don't.
Is there some place you can go?
Right. If you can certainly go to the highway patrol, you can call me, you can go to the fire department. Unfortunately, a lot of the fire department and highway patrol are not doing the inspections anymore.
Yeah, I found that last year, you know, when we were installing the car seat before she was born, and I said, okay, we're going to install it. And then I heard you're supposed to go get it checked. And I jump online and it's like, well, this city does it, but only if you're a resident of this city. And the county does it through the highway patrol, but you have to call them, and it's on the third Thursday between 2 and 4. And I'm like, yeah. I work and I'm due in 3 weeks. And
exactly.
How do I get this? And so it was really, so we watched a bunch of YouTube videos and we did it the best we could.
Good for being progressive.
Until, you know, we got her in and we tried installing it like 3 or 4 times. And we did have the infant seat. So we have the base.
Right.
And then the infant seat snaps in. So, you know, we were installing it in both of our cars and checking and like watching these videos. But it was always that thing where I thought, but I'm told I have to go get this checked, but I don't understand how, and I don't know where, and I work, and how do I do it? So
that's reason why, you know, I developed the company is because I work, you know, as a postpartum doula as well. A lot of my clients, we were having problems with these car seats and we're having the same type of thing. We just don't have an actual place to go. And that's where I just come on out, double check it, make sure it's okay, or install it for you. So you have peace of mind that an actual certified technician's out there doing that
for you. What will happen if it's not installed correctly?
Most likely you'll have some sort of injury. Your child will have injury.
If it's not like, I mean, it's in and it's secure and you can't like, you know, hey, shake it, hit it, whatever else.
Then it's probably, if you feel like the back end, it shouldn't move more than an inch, but the front should move, you know, maybe more 2 inches, then it's properly installed and you feel like you've, you know, it depends on what system you use. Do you use a seatbelt or a latch?
And actually, well, that's a question I have for you as well. Like people ask me, well, they're the latch systems. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people will say, well, the middle seat doesn't have the latches. My car has a latch that's large, so it goes for either side on or the middle.
Correct.
But so then people will say, some friends of mine say, well, it's better to put them safely on the latch on the side. But then I thought, well, what if you get T-boned? Wouldn't it be better to have them on an incorrect latch, but at least in the center where they're not going to get
hurt? In the center seat will be used by the seatbelt. So that's either the seatbelt or the latch is perfectly fine. They're both safe. There isn't one better than the other.
But if you use the latch, if you put them in the center seat and you put them on the latch, but the latch is on the outer seat.
If that's incorrect, then you're using an improper method of installation.
Even if it feels secure?
Feels secure, it wouldn't hold up in a crash. It's not made that way.
It depends on the car too, right?
Exactly.
Because my car manual had, my car has latch and it said only use latch on the side.
Exactly.
But my husband's car said the latch can, if they're spaced appropriately, the latch can be used in the middle.
Exactly.
But we thought his seat was domed a little, so we didn't feel like it was secure in the middle even using the latch. So
God bless you
crazy.
For looking at your car manual and the manual.
I was reading everything.
That was like the first thing I asked, have you looked at the car manual? No. And you find it dusty in their, you know, glove box someplace. Your car manual and the car seat manual will tell you exactly how and where to put it in the car seat. And even as a tech, that's the first thing I look at. And people think, well, I could have done that. I've said, yeah.
You could have.
You could have.
So even, now here's the same situation. So we have car seats. Okay. We have latches. Mm-hmm. And so one day I took my dad's car somewhere and he has latches on the side seats, not in the middle. So
correct.
I did the seatbelt in the middle. And I get to my destination and my child, oh, bless his heart, he was probably 2-3 months old. And I hear him fussing. Well, my child always fussed, so I ignored it. And because I didn't have a mirror.
Right.
My car had a mirror, but my dad's car didn't. And I get to my destination and the whole car seat, base and all,
was
is
tilting.
On. No, not even tilting. No. It was on its side. And my child was strapped into the car seat going,
That's when you need a locking clip for that situation.
And so here I am. I use the seatbelt because it told me to. But these are seatbelts that give.
Right.
So now I don't trust seatbelts on my car seats in a newer car that give. I do the latch even if it's incorrect. Because, I mean, so here I'm working. I'm asking
trying
to work your
the
magic,
system.
Rosemary.
And that's what people do. They're kind of working their system on there. Once again, the locking clip is for any car. Usually use anything before 1996 had the type of car seats or the seat belts that kind of moved with you. And the locking clip actually holds the lap and the seat belt in place. And it keeps it all there together. And so once you do is get it, you lock it in. And then you have to unlock it, put the locking clip in. And that's that looking H or that little T-looking metal bar or the mm-hmm. little clip that comes in every car seat, and then you lock it in, and that holds it, and then you lock it again so it won't flip over, like, you know, Casey's poor child. Oh, okay. Probably loved it. Probably thought it was on some sort of ride or something. Let's do that again. But I really find now the newer cars, car seats have a locking actual latch plate that you buckle in, so it's not necessary to use a locking clip.
You had said something about the difference between putting a kid in the middle seat on the side as far as safety goes. And obviously with twins, putting them both in the middle is not an option.
Exactly. Who do you love more?
Can you give me a little information on what the difference is in safety from being on the side to the middle?
Once again, all the testing are saying, of course, the middle is like your little cocoon area, and it's always like the number one space to go. But for every parent, it's once again, when you have multiples, or maybe you have dogs, or maybe you have to use that, a lot of our back seats split. So maybe you have someone you pick up every day. You have to pick up your nanny, your sister, whatever. It's really about the best place the parent wants to use. And probably for your situation, I would have used the middle, and you could choose. Most likely the passenger back would have been my second choice for that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the newer cars have the air curtains on the side, so your child would have been protected on like a T-bone type of collision.
Yeah, I mean, with the convertible car seats now, they're so large, and mm-hmm. I even have a bigger mm-hmm. car. Even putting one in the middle and one on the side is just not feasible. They have to both be on the side. Because it won't fit.
Exactly. And then you've got the front seat or the passenger seat or the driver's seat that's hitting it. And now the driver's impaired because they can't really get a good spot. So, you know, car seats are kind of a funny thing. And it's like there's like hundreds of car seats and hundreds of cars. And you got to mix and match what kind of car is going to fit with your car. And so it's perfectly fine to go to any of the stores, grab their car seat from the floor sample, and come out to your car and look at it and feel with it and see what one works best with you.
Great. When we come back, we'll talk about how tight should your harness straps be and when to replace the restraint system. And when can they sit in the front seat? We'll be right back. We're back with Rosemary Mason, founder of Sit Safe San Diego, here to talk with us about our car seats and the safety of them. So how tight should the harness straps be, and where
tight.
Should they be located? Yeah.
Be tight.
I can't breathe, Mom.
That's a little too tight. They should feel really secure and firm, and it should be nice and firm. The actual webbing or the actual straps should be very straight and not buckled or little loops or anything else.
And not twisted.
Exactly. Okay. And just feel very flat on your child. You shouldn't be able to pinch anything at the shoulder. So you don't. That's called the pinch test. You should just be able to kind of grab it, and it moves. It doesn't come up and pinch like that. You shouldn't be able to take an inch of it or anything. Where we used to think, you can stick your hand underneath it, but it moves two fingers underneath, and that's really not what we recommend anymore. It should be very flat, firm against the child.
Okay, and what about that middle section?
The retainer clip should be right across the nipple line.
That's called a retainer clip?
Yes.
Okay, thank mm-hmm. you.
I call it the chest clip.
The harness clip. You know, a lot of people, but at least you know what you're talking about.
So I know
you want to hear it click.
It starts to slip down as I put my, and the next thing you know, it's by its belly, but then someone told me always put it by the armpits.
Correct. So when you first start it, when you first put them in, because you've loosened it up, you should be down by their belly button. So as you pull the strap to tighten it up, it will move.
Because I do that every single time.
Good. Yeah. And it should move up as you tighten it. It should move up to their bottom, not to their neck, but then you can adjust it, and it should go right across their nipple line, and it should be nice and firm.
I always struggle with that because my daughter's so small still uh-huh. That I feel like it's at her neck, and she's like trying to suck on it or something, and so push it down a little, and then I'm like, oh, it's too low, and then I push it, so I spend like 10 minutes like adjusting this stupid little plastic thing that I know will save her life, but
you're such a great mom.
I can see
your over analytical
so
mom.
Just a little lower, so think of nipple line across or right by the armpits, and that's what you're looking for. So that's the most comfortable place.
When should you replace the restraint system?
When it's beyond repair from someone throwing up on it or poop or whatever. The actual harness itself, they don't recommend that you wash it or anything else because that would just void it out. You can always contact your car seat manufacturer and just get another whole harness. They'll just send them to you. They're not that expensive. I think they run around $30, and you can have a spare just in case your child decides to totally throw up on it or poop all over it.
So hand kind of spot cleaning, hand washing only just to wipe.
Just to wipe off anyone's little grossness out of it. But, you know, you got some investment with this, so it's kind of nice just to go ahead and have an extra set just in case. And this also brings up on your own car seats, check your own car seats. Make sure there's no little bumps or no little burrs or anything on your actual car seats. Because once again, in a collision, they would not hold up. I had just bought a new car, took this course, and my instructor was like, you're going to have to get a new car seat. This one has a little burr on it, like a little bump, like in jeans, how they have that little thing. And she goes, this would not hold up in a car seat. And it was just like this little felt like just like a little bump. And she goes,
it would, on the seatbelt in your car.
Exactly. Wow. So check your seatbelts themselves and make sure they're good.
I have convertible car seats, mm-hmm. and I had an episode where my daughter threw up all over the car seat, and the cover came off, right, very easily. Right. So I took it off, and I washed it, and I put it in the dryer, and unfortunately in the dryer, some of the clips that kind of hooked the cloth cover mm-hmm. behind the car seat melted. And I can still clip it, and I've been using it. Is that unadvisable?
That's a cover, though, not
right, exactly. That's the cover itself, so that shouldn't have any problems with, you know, the actual, because you're strapped in. And
there's nothing about the cover that's holding the child in. It's just that makes it more comfortable for them to sit.
So okay. They're not sitting on plastic.
Exactly.
Do you recommend anything, side impact or head things?
No, unless it actually came with the car seat, then you can use what came with it. Most of the time, we just recommend you just roll up the receiving blankets and tuck them in right around the head or underneath the arms. If you have a little smaller baby, to kind of cushion them in a little bit. You don't need a lot of extra things.
Because you see on like the convertible car seats, okay, there's like the entry level, like right. even within the same brand, mm-hmm. the same manufacturer. Well, there's the, you know, G1 and it's this and the G2 and then the G3, which is $300 more, has 5 head harnesses and mm-hmm. extra padding. And
don't you love your child? Don't you think you should get that?
Right? And then it's like computers. You always buy the exactly. smartest computer because it's going to be outdated. Is that the same thing with car seats?
Yeah. Well, car seats last for a good 6 years. So, and everything's on your car seat. The date stamped on there, all the information is on your stickers. All you have to do is look. And a lot of parents don't even realize what on the stickers are on their car seat that gives you all the information, how long this child can stay in this car seat, how long they should be rear facing, what path to put the car seat, the seat belt through. So it gives you all the information on there.
Is that a newer thing? Because I have sitting in my garage unused, a hand-me-down car seat that it's unused because I'm like, I don't want to use this. But I tried to look to see how old it was because I was judging based on my friend's mm-hmm. daughter's age, and I wasn't sure if she got it for her first daughter or her right. second, and I couldn't find stickers or anything.
That one, most of the time, they're stamped actually in the plastic okay. in the back part. Okay. So you kind of look up in the light because it's one of those, it's dark, so you're going to okay. have to look. But it should be stamped.
Okay, and it's one of those, I think that it's too old based on the age of her daughter.
It might be.
So that's why it's just sitting in my garage.
If you're in doubt, then,
that's why I haven't done anything with it. But I kind of wanted to be able to say, oh, can't take it. It's expired. And hand it back without just saying, like, I don't trust your car seat. Like, you don't want to offend someone.
And it's true, because you'll find car seats at garage sales and everything else, and they look perfectly, you know, they look good. You don't know if that car seat was in a collision or not. And a collision could just be a little fender bender, and then the car seat actually is void. So any type of collision you have, you can call your insurance company, and they will reimburse you and give you a new car seat. That's part of that's the law.
What?
California law.
Here's a situation. I'm a thrifty one, per mm-hmm. se, and I can't afford car seats. I can't afford the large ones. I can't afford whatever else. And I also, you know, been a nanny for a long time, and I feel like when I take that convertible car seat, or not the convertible, the infant car seat mm-hmm. out, and I put it on a table and I'm bringing it, whatever, it gets more damaged or knocked around, falling off of a chair in the
that's
house well, without a baby in it, of course.
that's good.
And then it would in a fender bender, you know, and safety wise. So how legit is that, you know, that car seats expire and, you know, you can't use a secondhand car seat or any of that?
I'm not sure if I understand what you're asking me.
I'm not asking you to approve of it, but I'm. But it, you know, are you going to kill your child if you use a secondhand car seat or one that's been expired?
You know, my recommendation is that you're the parent, and so you do what's best for your child. If you feel this is safe enough for your child, then I can't say no. It's not going to be safe enough for your child. It's all about what the parent's decision to do whatever they need to do. If you feel like, you know, this is a perfectly good car seat, I know it's a year older than it should be, I can't afford another car seat, so this is what I have to use. It's better than nothing. It's better than just sticking, you know, a blanket back there and putting your child in it.
Are there statistics about the use of older car seats, or right. is it the lack
again,
of statistics? Sorry,
I don't have my statistics, but yes, there are, if you're using them, sure, because they do, after anything gets older, all the plastics and things like that start to deteriorate. They've been in the sun, they've been in the car for like 150 degrees in the car constantly, and they're over 6 years old, and how much use you're using. Mm-hmm.
So then if you have a car seat that you bought absolutely brand spanking new with your first child, and now you have three, and they're 3 years apart per se, you know, do you ditch it and get another car seat? Or, I mean, you've been
the
only owner. I know. Apparently. I think there,
that third think child deserves something new.
I think it's a conspiracy for us to all buy car seats at every 2 years.
You know, your car seat journey is going to last like 8 years, because, you know, you're going to be in some sort of booster or whatever up to 8 years. And then, you know, you're not even going to get a child in the front seat until they're 13 years old. So you're going to have, they're in the back seat till they're 12 years old. So it's an investment that you're going to have to accept, that you're going to be working with car seats, you know, for a good amount of time.
And is that the law, or is that what's recommended for 8 year old?
It's what's recommended in California, right?
So when can your child go from a convertible to a booster?
Okay. So once children outgrow their forward facing seats, usually around 4 years or 40 pounds, they should ride in the booster seats and the back seats until the vehicle seat belts fit properly. So that's what you're looking for. And then we want to make sure the seat belts are, you know, flat across their laps, and they're holding in.
So what if they're small? Do they have? Don't they make little thingies? Are those still safe?
And those are little adapt. Yeah, and you can have the little seat belts that attach to their actual car seats. They have them like they're like convertibles, or they convert from the regular car seat to like a booster. Mm-hmm. Once again, you have to know your kid. If you have a kid who's a monkey who wants to climb around, then I would probably restrain that kid as long as possible.
Yeah.
Or they have special needs or whatever. So you want to kind of
can you put them in a backward facing booster like you said it's safer?
Do they make backward facing
boosters? I think we should all invent one, and we could all be on Easy Street for the rest of our lives after that. But I'm sure car seats are going to be changing. They change every couple of years, and people want, you know, and you get another car, you don't want that old car seat in your car, so you get another car seat to match that. But I think we're going to see big changes in car seats because of the age and weight requirements on there. And I think a lot of the car manufacturers are actually going to start building them more in the car themselves. So your option in buying this car is it comes with a car seat that converts and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, and also, I had read in the law that they have to stay in a booster until they're 4 feet.
Yeah, 4 feet, 8 inches. Yeah.
4 feet, eight inches. So I know some adults that way. So should they be in a booster?
They probably feel more comfortable in a booster.
Is it 4 feet, 8 inches? Oh my gosh, 4 feet, eight inches is so tall. Yeah.
Well, there's that and a weight. Like it's like kind of like a matrix, like the rear facing, right? So it's 1 and 20 pounds. But then when you get older.
It's 8 and, or when they are 4 feet, 9 inches tall. Excuse me, it's 4 feet, 9 inches tall.
So
that's pretty. You have to think that a seatbelt is made developed for a human man weighing 160 pounds. So if your child isn't meeting that car seat or that seatbelt's going to, you know, injure them in some way. Each time you move your child out of their little cocoon to the next stage, you're actually getting less and less safe until you're actually an adult. So we're really not the safest as we are with babies. So I wouldn't be in a big hurry to not make my child safe. I would keep them, if I could, put them in rear-facing car seats until they are 12 and then move them up to the front.
Well, you've made me think a lot about that. I always thought, too, you know, I'll be the safe parent. I'm going to turn my child forward-facing at 2 years old. Now I'm going to keep them in there.
Yeah, keep them occupied.
And I'm going to get myself a harness.
Perfect.
Thank you to Rosemary Mason for helping us learn about car seat safety. If you want more information on Rosemary, go to today's show on our episodes page on the website or visit sitsafesandiego.com. Before we wrap up today's show, here's John Arreal to tell us about some great apps for new parents.
Hey, Parent Savers, I'm John Arreal, founder of FamilyFriendlyVideoGames.com, and I'm here to talk about helpful apps for new parents. Today, I want to talk to you about Look and Learn Animal Alphabet from National Geographic. It's a great app that's good for a broad range of ages, including kids as young as 18 months old. Look and Learn Animal Alphabet is $1.99. It consists of 6 different mini games for kids, ranging from those appropriate for those 18 months old to those that are great for preschoolers and those getting ready to enter kindergarten. In one of the mini games, kids touch these great National Geographic pictures of animals. They can swipe, hear animal sounds, and begin learning their letter recognition as each one teaches them the name of the animal that starts with a different letter. And eventually, the app kind of evolves into teaching kids how to trace letters, create letters, do some dot-to-dot puzzles. And there's also a real fun element called the Mask Maker, where you can take pictures of your kids or your parents, and kids can easily put funny masks on them and save them and send them around to their friends. It's a great app for kids of all ages called Look and Learn Animal Alphabet from National Geographic. There's a link to buy it on this week's episode page on parentsavers.com, and make sure to listen to more future episodes of Parent Savers for more great apps for new parents.
If you are using a great app that you'd like to recommend to our audience, call the Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll include your message in a future episode. That wraps up today's episode. We'd love to hear from you. So if you have a question for our expert about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775 or send us an email through our website, parentsavers.com, or Facebook page, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming episode. Coming up next week, we're talking about potty training. Thanks for listening to Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.